did you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief. More interviews that make you go, on Moncrief weekdays from 1:30. Now, the shipworm is quite a common creature that burrows into wood, but the giant shipworm is so rare it's almost legendary. It's slimy, fleshy, black, and can be up to 5 feet long, but a small group of them have been found in the Philippines, and Dan Distel from Northeastern University is part of that group that found them. Afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon to you.
So could you start by describing to us, what does a shipworm look like?
Well, a typical shipworm is kind of a small worm-like clam, and it's typically kind of whitish in color, and they live by burrowing into wood, and they sort of form a sort of thin calcium-like shell-like coating around the tube as they burrow in. So many people who've had wooden boats might have seen shipworms or shipworm tubes.
Mm. Now, what's the range in terms of the size of them?
Well, of course, they range from just a few millimeters in length to this new giant shipworm. I shouldn't say new, but this shipworm that we have recently found specimens of.
Mm. The giant shipworm, presumably you don't find those in ships, or do you?
No. We found those burrowing in mud, in a kind of thick, black, oozy mud, in a marine bay, where there was a lot of rotting wood present on the seafloor.
Right. And in terms of size, is it 4 or 5 feet we're talking about?
Most of the specimens are between, say, 2.5 to 3.5 feet in length. The largest one ever collected was just about 5 feet in length. And that one's actually in the Guinness Book of Records.
Mm.
I actually got a chance to hold that specimen in the home of the shell collector who owns it.
And have they been elusive for the last few hundred years?
Yes, they have. So they were actually first described by Linnaeus. So that's about as far back as you can get
yes.
for a species description. That was in the late 1700s. But he described them based on the shell on the tube. Because the tubes are very sturdy, and they can last literally for millions of years. So we find fossilized tubes that are millions of years old. But the animals themselves have been more elusive. We know that some specimens were collected back in the 1930s, and they ended up being pickled in ethanol and stored in the Natural History Museum in London. But those specimens were, kind of poorly preserved, and over 80-plus years, they don't look so great.
Mm.
So finding an actual living specimen was really fantastic.
So your average giant shipworm is maybe 2 to 3 feet long. It's encased in this kind of white shell. It's stuck face down in mud. What's it doing?
Well, that's a great question, and that was the big question that we faced trying to figure out what they do. Most shipworms eat wood, of course, and here we found these shipworms not in wood. And, in fact, the bottom of the tube was closed. Now, in most shipworms, the tube is open at the bottom because that's where the animal's mouth is, and that's where it's burrowing and eating the wood. So we had that big question, what are they eating? And to make a long story short, basically they don't eat. They have bacteria that live inside of their tissues, actually in their gills, and those bacteria do something kind of analogous to what green plants do. So green plants take sunlight, and they use the energy from sunlight to convert carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, a gas in the atmosphere, into carbohydrates or sugars. And then they build all the other molecules that they need for life from those sugars.
Mm.
In the case of the bacteria in the shipworm, instead of using light energy, they're using energy, chemical energy, from oxidizing actually a very toxic form of sulfur called hydrogen sulfide. And most people are familiar with the smell of hydrogen sulfide because that's the smell of rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out to be quite a toxic gas, but certain bacteria can use that. They combine it with oxygen just the way we combine sugars and carbohydrates ourselves with oxygen to make energy. They combine this gas with oxygen and essentially burn it to make energy, and then they use that energy to take carbon dioxide out of the water and make sugars out of it. And ultimately, that's what the animal lives on, is the compounds, the food that's synthesized by the bacteria.
How interesting. Even though it looks like a worm, and we'll maybe describe in a minute what it actually looks like inside the shell, it's not part of the worm family at all. What would it be most closely related to?
Well, it's quite closely related to some very common bivalves, clams. For example, here in New England, we have a very popular food item. We call them steamer clams. They're also known as softshell clams, and the species name is Maya arenaria. So that very typical-looking clam is quite closely related to these very atypical bivalves.
Mm. And the giant shipworms that you've encountered, they're somewhere in the Philippines, and you don't want to reveal exactly where, just to kind of protect them a bit.
That's right.
You did take one out and remove it from its shell to have a look. How did you go about doing that, and what did it look like inside?
Well, it was anybody's guess when we first looked at this, but I looked at the tube and the bottom of the tube, and it kind of resembled to me a soft-boiled egg, so I followed the normal procedure and just tapped around the edge of it with a, not a spoon in this case, but a small chisel, and it was quite delicate, and it broke away, and then I just tilted the tube up and gave it a couple of shakes, and out came the animal without much trouble.
Right. Does it have muscles? Did it move out of the shell, or did it just kind of ooze out of the shell?
It kind of just oozed out of the shell.
Yeah.
It is a muscular creature, certainly compared to other shipworms, which are small and very delicate. It was quite a sturdy creature. And the thing that was most shocking about it, I think, was the color. You know, most shipworms are sort of whitish or beige in color. This one was a kind of a gunmetal bluish black color, and very striking.
Wow.
And of course, the video that we showed, and many, many people have looked at now, we had to replace the audio track on that because there were some gasps and I'd say some expletives that had to be deleted.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you, Dan, people have watched it in this office with through their fingers as well. similar expletives being delivered there. Given that they were, you know, very difficult to find, and you're protecting the location of these particular ones, are they under any degree of threat in terms of their lifestyle?
We don't know. And that's the main reason why we have not released the exact location. Because right now, that's the only location we know of where, if we had to go out and find another living specimen, that's where we would go. We suspect there are more. We're going to look for other locations. But right now, it is possible that they could be threatened.
Mm. Well, hopefully not. Dr. Dan Distel is director of the Ocean Genome Legacy Center at Northeastern University and co-author of the study published in the journal PNAS. Dan, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
More interviews that make you go, on Moncrief, weekdays from 1:30.